This is Lewis from the Chicago Spasmatics, and you're listening to KHOI, Story City, Ames. Feel the heat.
Welcome to Local Talk Tuesday, where we explore the people, places, stories, and events of our Central Iowa community. Thank you for tuning in. I am Mike Metz, your host for the hour, along with station manager and engineering this morning's Local Talk program is Mike Murphy. Today, we're starting out with a little cloudy skies, but it's quickly yielding as the skies clear, and it's going to be continuing warmer with expected highs all the way up to the mid-90s. Our daytime winds will be from the south-southwest, 10 to 15 miles per hour, so that will give us a little heat relief if you're in the shade. Remember to drink plenty of fluids. Toward the evening hours, skies will remain relatively clear with southwest winds dropping down to the 5 to 10 miles per hour speeds, and nighttime temps will drop to a low of 62 degrees. It's currently 64 degrees and quickly rising. Went from the Ada Hayden Friends for the Ada Hayden Natural Heritage Park. This Thursday evening at 7 p.m., they'll have a prairie wildflower walk. Deb Lewis, superintendent of the Ada Hayden Herbarium there at Iowa State, will lead that walk. And then on Saturday at 11 a.m., Stephanie Fox will lead a butterfly walk. Both of these will meet at the southwest corner of the park at the parking lot there off of Harrison Road. Joining us, we have a couple of veterinarians from Iowa State University's College of Vet Med here to talk about companion animals. Good morning, Meg.
Good morning. How are you?
Doing well. Dr. Margaret Musser, if you could just give us a little bit of an idea of what we hope this program will be about.
So over the next year or so, we'll be having chats every third Tuesday to talk about different aspects of companion animal medicine. I'm a medical oncologist, so at some point we'll chat about tumors in dogs and cats. But we have a wide variety of programming set up for you to chat about ocular diseases or eye diseases in animals. General practice diseases will come today. We have some equine practitioners lined up. So lots of discussions about just general from companion animal medicine.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, that's going to be great because pretty much all the touches that we have so far, I've got probably one of those animals that we'll talk about. So if nothing else, I can tell you what kind of problems I've got and maybe be able to ask a question or two that's not on the list. So we hope this will be a great time. And I know it'll be important information for our listeners out there. And I see you've brought a guest with us this morning.
Yes. So my colleague, Dr. Jennifer Scaccinocci, is here. She is one of our primary care doctors. And she's going to answer some questions and chat about things to think about when you're traveling with your pet or boarding your pet so that you can go on vacation.
Well, good morning, Jennifer.
Morning, everyone.
Welcome to Local Talk. Dr. Musser was just saying that you've got some tips for us when we decide we're going to take our animal companion on vacation. And just to let our listeners know, I've been on a few trips, and I usually have my pup with me, 14-year-old golden retriever, yellow lab cross, and I do try to keep her comfortable at all times. So share with our listeners what we need to consider when we're going on vacation.
Yeah, it's wonderful when people are able to take their pets with them on vacation. And the same things that you think about yourself, you really should think about for your pets. So you'll need to pack a bag. Unfortunately, for our pets, they have a very typical diet that they eat regularly. Mm-hmm. And so you want to make sure that you bring their food with them. A change in diet can cause some upset stomachs, and some dogs or cats will have GI upset if they travel, especially if you're going to switch their diet. If you're traveling by car, the biggest thing is going to be to keep them comfortable. So have them in a safe location. Ideally, you would have them in the back seat, secured appropriately for their size. So in a cat, that generally means in a carrier to prevent them from getting scared and running around the vehicle, making it hazardous for you to drive. For small dogs, a carrier is also appropriate, and that increases safety in case you were to get into an accident, for example, but also, again, keeps them away from the front seat and distracting the owner while driving. Large dogs that aren't able to get into a carrier, or say your carrier can't fit into your car, can be secured with a seat belt. Again, it will keep them secure in the back seat and prevent them from coming up front, but also will give them some level of protection in case there was an accident.
You mentioned with the seat belt, what I've got is a strap that connects to the seat belt and then it attaches to a body harness. Is that something that's still recommended?
Yes. So those are seat belts that are pretty much created for dogs. So they're typically a 5-point seat belt, similar to what race car drivers would have, only it doesn't secure them to the seat. The shorter the extension, the better, because again, they can't wander around too much, but they are usually attached to the seat belt. So it uses that safety mechanism already in place in your car.
Great. Go ahead. I interrupted you.
Oh, no, that's fine. So the next thing you want to consider is whether or not your animal is comfortable in the car. And for that, you want to practice bringing them with you on short trips and see how they react. Unfortunately, most animals seem to know when they're going to the veterinarian, so that's not a great time to practice. So you'll want to take them out even just to go through a drive-through, pick up some coffee, maybe go to a friend's house, say hi for a few minutes, and then come back home. And depending on their reactions, will determine how well you think they will do on a longer road trip.
I was going to say, you mentioned going to the veterinarian, and as a matter of fact, she knows when she's going. So often what I'll do is I'll make that same trip, but I'll take a straight shot or I'll turn a different direction just as I'm getting there. So it kind of throws her off a little bit.
That sounds perfect. And that will also help her get used to going to the veterinarian so she doesn't get all stressed out when she's driving as well. But for these road trips, animals do get car sick sometimes, just like we do. And some of them can get anxious in the car. So if you notice any of that while you're practicing, you'll want to get in contact with your veterinarian to determine if medications or other tools can be used to keep them calm on your road trip.
Okay, very good. When you mentioned food and making sure you keep to the same diet that they normally would have at home, I also take water from home with me, and if nothing else, try to mix it with the local sources so that they seem to get used to that. I don't know that they're, at least my dog isn't that picky, but I think it helps.
Yeah, especially with cats, they can be very cautious about new things that don't smell or taste correct, and cats don't like to drink water as it is. So if you do have a picky pet, that is something that could be very beneficial, especially while they're in the car. We should give them access to small amounts of water so that they can stay hydrated.
And you talked about comfort in the vehicle, and of course, especially this time of year, we want folks to know that they don't leave that vehicle, that animal, that pet in that vehicle with the windows up. I've had a time or two where I've had to leave my dog in for a short time, so I've let the engine run, air conditioner on, and I even still have it cracked with some water. Is that, I know it's not recommended, but is that the next best thing?
Ideally, you would take the animal out with you. Now, we know that a lot of places don't accept pets inside the store, and if you're traveling, it's going to be very hard for you to know exactly where you can take them. So if you are stopping and leaving them within the car, that can be something that will be helpful. But I would leave it to no more than 5 minutes at a time. Make sure you're in the car with them. And unfortunately, cars do have safety features. They can shut off. Dogs also, if they're not properly in carriers, can activate the locks and the windows and
yep.
things within the car. And I'd hate to have a safety issue. So leaving a car on unattended is not ideal. So try and figure out a place where it would be appropriate for your dog to either come in with you. Cats are a little bit easier because they're in carriers, so you can carry them around a little bit easier sometimes, like going into a hotel or going into something like Lowe's or Home Depot usually allows pets to come in at least briefly, mm-hmm. and then you could cool off there.
What about a basic first aid kit when you're traveling? If you can't get veterinarian's help immediately, are there any things that you would recommend maybe carrying with you in case you had a minor cut or scrape or something of that sort?
Yeah, animal first aid is very similar to human first aid. The biggest problem is that they have a lot of fur. And so your typical first aid kit would be very beneficial for your pet. Something like super glue can be helpful for gluing together wounds temporarily. Bandage material, something to clean the wound is always helpful. The biggest thing is don't use any medications on your pet mm-hmm. that come in those first aid kits unless you've already cleared it with a veterinarian. Because unfortunately, a lot of the over-the-counter medications that people use that are safe for humans are actually toxic for our pets.
Mm-hmm.
So please don't use the medications within your first aid kit, bandage material, cleansers, super glue, things like that would be appropriate to use.
One last area that we haven't touched on yet, and that is vaccinations being updated when you're traveling. What do we need to consider there?
So the vaccinations that your veterinarian discusses with you is based on lifestyle. There are some vaccinations that pets in this region don't need necessarily, but in other regions they will. So before you travel, you may want to talk with your veterinarian about where you're going and if they have any diseases there that are different from what we have here in Central Iowa. And you want to make sure that they're fully vaccinated at least 2 weeks prior to travel, preferably four, because the vaccine needs time to work.
Mm-hmm.
And it takes roughly 2 to 4 weeks for full protection after being vaccinated. So I don't know how many times I've had people leaving town quickly and their dogs don't have their Bordetella vaccine. So they'll come rushing in because it's required by their facility. I give them the Bordetella. They run off and drop the dog off at the location within a couple hours. Now that vaccination might fill policy, but it doesn't cause any level of protection for your pet because it wasn't given in enough time for their bodies to respond. So if you can plan ahead, your pet will be more protected.
And Bordetella, for those folks who aren't familiar with the actual name, that would be the common name would be for kennel cough. Is that correct?
Correct.
One other, what about rabies vaccination? Should you carry the certificate as well as having the medallion on their ID collar?
It is always helpful to have certification of rabies with you. It can be a copy of it on your phone, for example. You don't necessarily need the paper copy.
Mm-hmm.
But if anything were to happen and your animal would accidentally bite somebody, there are rules and regulations regarding that, and each jurisdiction can be different. So just because the law is one way here in Iowa, again, doesn't necessarily mean that it's even the same in the town over.
Mm-hmm.
So you want to make sure that you follow all of the compliance of the local area. And bringing your documentation is always a good thing. In case something were to happen with your pet and you would have to go to an emergency facility, it's always good to have your records with you.
That sounds great. Dr. Musser, do you have anything you want to add? We've got about a minute or two left.
Dr. Scacinucci did a fantastic job, and I'm so happy that she was able to join us this morning. I think she had some really good tips and tricks for traveling with your pet.
Okay. Jennifer, do you have any last words for our listeners?
Just have a safe summer and enjoy traveling with your animals.
Well, I sure appreciate that you both are able to join us. This is going to be a great opportunity. I would urge our listeners out there, if they have anything that maybe they want to discuss, they could send KHOI an email or go online at khoifm.org and submit their question to Local Talk. And we don't really have a title for this Tuesday, but if it's in the subject line, just says a pet question or an animal question, perhaps we can answer those in the future. Dr. Jennifer Sarcinucci, thank you for joining us. And Dr. Meg Musser, again, thank you for joining us, and we look forward to next month.
Sounds great. Have a great day.
Thank you.
I'll light the fire. You place the flowers in the vase that you bought today. Staring at the fire for hours and hours while I listen to you play your love songs all night long.
And a little bit of comforting tunes from Crosby, Stills, Nash & Young, Our House. And joining us now is Lars Olson, founder and president of Home Allies Incorporated. Good morning, Lars.
Good morning. How are you this morning?
Well, we're doing fine here. It's the morning starting out comfortable and sunshine, and what a treat to have as we talk about affordable housing for some of our local folks here. What maybe what you could do is just go back and review for our listeners how you came upon this decision, and then just fill us in a little bit first.
I will. All right. So I am a former journalist. Up here in Ames, Des Moines Register brought me up, and then I owned a website, Ames 365, Ames News Online, and Ames Bulletin Board, and then I was a county supervisor. And during that entire now 20-year period of time, okay, that I've been in Ames, housing, especially housing for very low-income people, housing for people who are housing on insecure, which means they may be sleeping on somebody's sofa, or they may be sharing an apartment with too many people really for it to be comfortable, or they are moving around every week, they're living in a hotel, all of those items, that it's always been an issue up here in Ames. And of course, that's because we're a university town. And so the apartments, especially compact apartments like studios and one bedrooms, usually get rented out to students, and there's competition for those units. So as a county supervisor, housing was one of my priorities. And after I elected not to run again due to health, I still knew that I had some energy, and I knew there were needs in the community. And so I started looking around to see where we could either renovate a building or build a new building that would be specifically for either for studio apartments, centrally located, in hopes that we would be able to provide some housing for some of the people who are homeless in our community right now, who are being rejected by landlords. And that means they maybe don't have good credit, they've been evicted in the past, they don't qualify for one of the few Section 8 vouchers out there. Some of the low-income housing that we have in Ames is restricted to either disabled or 55-plus. And so there's a difficulty. And the more I network with the organizations who serve our homeless, serve people who are in crisis when it comes to having stable housing, the more I realized is that we need to have some apartments where that are called low barrier. and that is that there are very few requirements keeping them from getting long-term housing, from moving into a place. So that's how I started.
Mm-hmm.
I looked around and looked, found one of the few available two lots actually, in Ames that hadn't been built on, and contacted the builder. And we have been trying to get this project going for over a year now. We have gotten it all the way through approval by the city. So the architectural drawings are done and the surveys have been done, and we have planning and zoning approval. We did not have to rezone, but we are short on our fundraising right now.
Okay.
So that's what we need to do. We've received money already from the Storey County Housing Trust Fund, at least a grant. We've received a grant from Storey County, part of the ARPA funding grants. We have received money from the City of Ames. We received a little grant from United Way. The Kiwanis Club of Ames has given us a little grant, and we've already had about $50,000 in private donations.
Okay, so what you're doing is reaching out and asking our listeners and the folks in the public to step up and help with the fundraising.
Right, and the timing here is very appropriate because originally our agreement with the builder and lot owner, same entity, was supposed to expire on June 30th, but they have extended until September 1st for us. That works with the building schedule we were going to always anticipate, which is breaking ground in September, so that we could have these units done before it gets really cold this year. So hopefully to have these units ready for move-in in late November, early December. Well, one of the things, of course, I'm doing is applying for all kinds of grants.
Mm-hmm.
And I applied for Home Allies to be accepted into Gannett Media's Community Thrives Challenge. And we got accepted.
Oh, great.
And so yesterday the challenge began, and it runs through August 12th. And so every week there's a different kind of criteria to see who would get some money, and the top winners in various categories, according to the size of your organization, we compete against each other. And so this week, the starting week, is asking people to donate $5. And each unique donor that gives $5 through the designated website this week, it basically earns us a point. And we can receive up to $5,000 just by having people donate $5 and being one of the top, having the top number of donors. Next week, it'll be the total amount. It doesn't matter whether people, as long as 10 donors give money, we can go ahead and compete for another like $5,000. And overall, in the 3.5 weeks at the end of this competition, Gannett is also giving out several prizes from $25,000 to $100,000, and plus some other grants just for being in an area, a circulation and coverage area of one of their media outlets. And of course, they own both the Tribune and the Des Moines Register.
Mm-hmm. Now,
so we're hoping to get some money.
Yeah. For our listeners now, your Home Allies Incorporated is a nonprofit. So that in effect is how you've been able to apply for some of these funds. And also, we didn't really mention the location. It's off of Duff. Can you talk a little bit about the location and some of the positives because of that location?
Sure. The lots are on the west side of Duff Avenue between 9th and 10th Avenue. So they're mm-hmm. just south of Mary Greeley Medical Center and McFarland's Medical Arts building.
Mm-hmm.
They are located, there's a bus stop a half a block to the north and a half a block to the south. And that's very key when you're talking about very low income people and housing instability, because often they don't have transportation. And that's a major line. People can walk to downtown, mm-hmm. where the largest transportation bus hub is. We do have, of course, Food at First that is offered through First Christian Church, at First Christian Church right now. And that is important for them if they need to supplement their income, their meat for food. We also have a couple of food pantries within walking distance downtown. We have possibilities of them maybe in some who would be working or want to work to be able to find employment or, once again, transportation to employment. And a lot of our human service agencies have offices downtown, including the county has this human services building in 100 block of South Kellogg. So all of that comes together to make this location ideal. In addition, the lots are just a half a block north of the historic preservation area of downtown. And the housing district there. And as a result, there are some restrictions called the single family overlay district. And there's a real limit on what can be built on these lots.
Mm.
And housing is one of the few. And as it is, I will be honest with viewers or listeners, that there's a couple of restrictions that are adding to the cost of the project. One of them is we can't build an eightplex. We want to do eight units, but instead we're having to build a fourplex on each one of the lots. They're actually two little lots next mm-hmm. to each other. They're narrow lots, long and narrow. And so that has put some restrictions on what we can build there. But we have a design that was approved by planning and zoning with and then by the city council with no problems.
Yeah, and I assume that there'll be a few design amenities that it will fit in with the old town concept, or at least kind of a hybrid look to it.
Right. So we some of them were a little technical here architecturally for the exterior designs, like the pitch of the roof. We have a little kind of a porch on the front that helps fit into that more of the design of the neighborhood.
Sure.
And the rest of it is lots of trees. It ends up we're going to have 4 to 6 trees on the lot
mm-hmm.
and 22 bushes tall enough to shield the parking area. So I laugh sometimes about after we get the house up and all of these plants up, where are we going to put the people? But but it will definitely fit in from the beginning, with the exception of the trees and bushes needing to grow a little bit.
Well, the one thing about trees and bushes is it's nature, and that does a lot for an individual's mental health, seeing green.
It does. And thank you for bringing up the angle of mental health and making people feel like they are home.
Yeah.
Is that helps yeah. them take care of properties. And of course, Home Allies will be managing it for the first year. So we are going to make sure that it always looks as good as possible, you know, so we do fit in. We've mm-hmm. got great neighbors to the north and the south, but also in our discussions with the providers of transition and shelter services here in Storey County, we know that probably 40 to 50% of the people who are being, who need help with housing self-identify as having some type of mental health or behavioral health issue that's ongoing. And so that's so important for people who are already working toward kind of getting that mental and physical stability
mm-hmm.
in their lives, to also have housing stability. The other things we're going to do is that we will have a fenced dog area, run, an actual long run. And, of course, we would take service dogs and service animals anyway, but we're going to allow everyone to have a pet. If they want to. I so loved listening before to the segment before.
Yeah.
And I'm a big animal fan too. But we'll probably at some time be reaching out to some of the local veterinarians or the ISU Vet College, et cetera, seeing can we maybe get a little help because most likely their animals might be behind on some vaccines.
Sure.
You know, that type of thing. But it's important. I know from all of the years that I've covered this, and then, like I say, interacting with those other agencies, that one of the reasons that people who are in domestic violence situations stay is because they don't have anywhere to take their pets. Also, why people won't come in off the street if they've been evicted or find themselves homeless is that they may be living in their cars because they can't find a place that will take their animals.
Sure. Loris, we're running short on time here.
Yes.
Please give us the way that folks can contact you for further information, your contact information, please.
Yes. I'm going to give you the website,
mm-hmm.
homeallies.org.
Pretty easy.
And there's, O-R-G, so homeallies.org. Mm-hmm. And there's a link right on our homepage up at the top that lets you go through to give on the challenge. Please use that link because only the donations that go through the designated Gannett website, it's called A Mighty Cause, actually will count toward the challenge. If you use our options to donate that's on the website, it doesn't count toward the challenge.
Okay, that's good to know. Thank you, Loris Olson, founder and president of Home Allies Incorporated.
Thank you, Mike. Have a good one.
Have a great day.
When you're alone and life is making lonely, you can always go downtown.
And welcome this morning to Susan Guyasta from the city of Ames downtown. Good morning, Susan.
Good morning. Good to be here. What a great morning it is.
You know, it's interesting. We're talking housing, and I know your guest is going to address that, but I can see your arm moving. So we've been talking pets earlier this morning with the veterinarians. This is a great day.
It is. It was a good day for a walk. But actually, speaking of moving, as I walk around our community, we see signs of moving. This is a time of transition. So those July to August months have always been a busy time in Ames, and we're starting to see stuff accumulate on the curbside. And we understand that people have different time constraints, but we're really asking people to plan ahead and consider donating items this year to Rummage Rampage. The first day that we'll accept your donations are July 29th. We'll accept them all the way through August 5th. And we have shopping opportunities at the Ames Intermodal Facility on Hayward from July 30th to August 6th. It goes Saturday to Saturday. The donation days are a little bit different than the shopping days, and I think every year that catches people. But if there's any way that you can hold on to that stuff for just a couple more weeks and bring it to the ramp, you know, you are saving items from the landfill, giving items a new lease on life, repurposing things that don't really need to be thrown away. All those are good for the community, and they really help out. And so you can help other people, you can help other organizations. Just remember Rummage Rampage. More information is on our website, cityofames.org, Rummage Rampage.
Yeah, and you know, you talked about those items that are out there. If folks can, if nothing else, try to find somebody who could hold that for them if they've got to leave, that would be great, because we don't want those things to end up in the resource management facility or worse, a landfill. Why not repurpose them?
Yeah, and every year we get comments on how the dates aren't quite right for their schedules. And, you know, we struggle every year to hit a Saturday to Saturday that's the most convenient for the most people. But we understand. I've heard many people say, I have to be out by July 25th. I have to be, you know, I'm not going to get into my new place till August 9th. We, you know, I am very sympathetic, and we totally understand that that time doesn't work. But we have grown this event probably to our capacity. It takes a lot of out of our volunteers and city staff. It is basically staff 24/7. We cannot leave all that stuff at the ramp without somebody there. Iowa State and the City of Ames have been very accommodating for letting us use the ramp, but it is a parking system. And sure. They need it back.
Yeah.
And so that is our limitation, is trying to find the right week to hold it. And we know that it doesn't meet everybody's needs, but we really try to meet the most needs that we can. And we really hope that other people can try to find a way to get their stuff to us, or it's the same with people who shop, who really want to purchase items but haven't quite gotten the keys to their new place yet. It's tricky. It's going to take some planning. So just plan ahead if you can. So that's my word, my words of advice this morning.
What you need to do is, when you're first in town, make friends with somebody who has a garage, and then they can save that for you when you take off.
Yeah. Exactly. And speaking of housing and planning ahead, that's one of the reasons that I brought with me today Vanessa Baker-Latimer, because this is kind of her wheelhouse. She does a lot with housing and has a lot of tips and advice to people at this time of year that can be so stressful. She also just has a lot of stuff going on in her area.
Yeah. Well, good morning, Vanessa. Welcome again to Local Talk. It's good to see you.
Good morning. Good morning. Good morning. Thank you for the opportunity to just share some tidbits and bring up to speed of what we're doing over here in the housing division for the City of Ames. I'm going to start off with just letting people know that currently we have our comment period open for our annual community development home action plan. This is where we get money from the federal government every year to do various types of affordable housing and other community development needs. And our comment period is open until August 1st. You can find our plan on the city website at www.cityofames.org/housing. And we're proposing funds for helping people purchase a home with down payment and closing cost assistance. We're also proposing to put in a pocket park as we finalize all of the public improvements for the Baker subdivision. And look forward to now getting some houses and some apartments built out on that site as we continue to do work with that, and also continue to work on our slum and blight removal program, where we're looking in very good neighborhoods to get rid of some, you know, really deteriorating housing to keep those neighborhoods safe. And so those are some of the activities that we are proposing for the action plan, but it is available for public comment. Like I said, on our website, and the council will be discussing that at their August 9th city council meeting.
Okay. Now, the Baker.
I just want to make sure people are aware of that.
Yes, and to make people aware of where the Baker subdivision is, just briefly describe that for listeners who haven't been tuning in on this.
What? They haven't been tuning in.
Well, there's, you know, this is vacation time. There might be a person or two who doesn't. Hasn't been keeping up.
Okay. All right. Well, the Baker subdivision is out in West Ames, State Avenue. It's the site of the old Ames Middle School. If you've been in Ames for a while, you know there was an old school back then that was on State Avenue that is now being turned into our affordable housing subdivision. And we're hoping to build at least 26 single-family homes, and then also an apartment complex for low-income families as well. We're all just kind of working on trying to fill that now that the subdivision is done. So if you drive out there, you'll see all the streets are in. We have trees planted, and all that public infrastructure is now there. So now we're ready to lay the next ground. And it's our first geothermal subdivision.
All right. Way to go. That has something to do with the CAP program, I would think, as far as the environmental aspects. Right, Susan?
Exactly. So we're excited to kind of launch that as a city with our electric department heading that geothermal part of the subdivision.
Yeah, that's great. The location also for that subdivision, it's not too far from that West Shopping area and some of the amenities there. And, of course, there's a few bus stops up along Lincoln Way.
It's a great location, yes. It's near grocery stores. It's near clinics. It's on the bus route. It's near restaurants, you know. So it's got access. And we're putting in a bike trail that will not – that will lead from that subdivision all the way over to Franklin Park. So there will be a bike trail connecting it to Franklin Park. So really, really enhancing that entire West Ames area with this proposed subdivision.
Yeah, and for listeners who haven't gotten out to Franklin Park, that's been recently renovated somewhat too, so there's some nice amenities there.
Yep, new play equipment and everything. So, yes, great enhancements happening out in that part of town. If you haven't had the opportunity to drive out there, do so.
Yeah, very good. Are there some other areas that you want to just highlight, Vanessa, as far as...
Yeah, and I'll quickly highlight it because I know we're short on time, but just kind of following up what Susan said, as you know, Ames, July 31st, through August is our big turnover time in Ames where leases are up and turning over. And I always want people to just take in some advice about getting ready to move to different apartments or move to the city. One big thing I wanted to talk about was decluttering. So as you declutter, you know, you need things you need to throw away. And then, of course, there's things you need to donate. And so that's why the Rumbic Rampage would be an opportunity to donate. Habitat for Humanity picks up items. The Salvation Army store takes donations. Overflow picks up donations. Goodwill. So you have opportunities to have those items repurposed as you declutter and you just donate those things that you don't need anymore. There's free moving boxes. You can go to the grocery stores. You can go to Walmart. They have boxes that you can use to kind of separate those things out and give them the place that they need. I tell people to kind of color code your boxes. So if red means kitchen, so all your kitchen stuff's got a little red tag on it. If your bedroom stuff, your toiletries, it's got a blue tag on it. So all those things help you organize better and de-stress yourself as you're trying to prepare to move to a new unit. Don't forget to turn off utilities at your old place, turn on new utilities at your new place, take care of your pets, make sure you have a place for them to transition while you're moving so they're not, like, exacerbated, like, what are we doing, Mommy? What? The car in the truck, you know. Take care of your pets as well. But there's a lot of little tidbits that I'm just throwing out there for people who are getting ready to make that transition. And don't forget to look for renter's insurance as well. That's always important to have.
Very important. Do that up front so that you don't run into problems later on. And, you know, those color-coded boxes, that's a great idea. Come to think of it, I've still got some boxes I didn't code, and I was looking at them, and some of those are the old textbooks that I've moved probably two or three times.
And you know, I have one more tip that I was reading about the other day, and I didn't know about this. You know, when you're in your old place, and you know, you made it very homely, you had pictures and everything hanging on your wall. So now when you take these things down, you have all these holes in your wall.
Yeah.
So I heard that you can use soap to fill the holes in. Now, you got to use white soap. You can't use the colored soap because other than you have, like, polka dots all over your wall. But that will help the landlord really transition to paint them because you've kind of gone in and taken care of those holes so that could be less money coming out your deposit and more money coming back in your hand if you kind of take care of those little nail holes that you leave in the wall.
And, you know, most landlords are understanding about that to a point. But you bring up an important point. When you first occupy an area, go through that area with your landlord ahead of time and make note of anything that perhaps doesn't look quite right or there's some damage, so that you're not charged again at the end for something that was already pre-existing.
Yes, especially like stains in the carpet that won't come out, or a dents in the wall that weren't fixed. So there is a checklist, and if anyone needs a checklist, they can just come by my office. I have a checklist that you can go over that you and your landlord both sign when you move in and when you move out. Those are available in front of our office here at Planning and Housing and at 515 Clark. Second floor, room 214. I'm making those checklists available because that's an important communication with your landlords, and that's how to establish those good relationships before and after you move in.
Thank you, Vanessa. That's Vanessa Baker-Latimer with the Housing Coordinator for the City of Ames. Thank you, Susan. Any final words from Susan? And if
no, I like the idea of de-stressing when you move. That's a good idea. We should all strive for a less stressful life.
Yes, and it's breathe through your nose and out through your mouth.
And drink plenty of water while you're moving.
Definitely stay hydrated, and yes, water is the best way to hydrate. So
especially Ames water.
Yeah. Oh, another plug for Ames water. Thank you, Vanessa.
All right, thank you. Have a good day.
All right, thank you.
Thank you.
And now we want to welcome from the Ames Public Library Foundation, Amy Junkie. Good morning, Amy.
Good morning. Thanks for having me.
Yeah. Now, hydration. We're talking about hydrating, but this is a little different form of hydrating you want to talk about, and it's not the preferred method to beat the heat, but it's a fun method.
Right. It's definitely fun. We have our Pub Fiction coming up on August 11th. It's a unique fundraiser. It's a literary pub crawl. So we kind of mix books and brews, all for a good cause.
So depending upon what time era, the brew might have to be mead or something like that, right?
I think that's really great. Part of Pub Fiction is we have seven partner locations this year, though these are bars on downtown, and they all select a literary theme, and so they'll decorate, but they'll also create some really cool drinks, specifically for the event based on those literary themes, and mead just might be one of those.
Yeah, so when you say pub crawl for Pub Fiction, is there going to be somebody laying out there at ground level as people crawl, or they can walk to these places, right? Or do they have to get into a cart or something, a horse drawn?
No, we're pretty careful. Yeah, we look out for each other. But yeah, it's designed so that everybody can walk. That you don't have to get in a vehicle or something to get next to or to get to each place. We designed seven different routes since we have seven locations, and we give people a map and little path to go to the next places. We start everybody off at the library with some snacks to make sure we're sending everybody in with a little something in their stomach. And we also, the locations come up with non-alcoholic drinks as well.
Sure.
Because we have people that, love going to all the locations. A lot of people discover maybe a bar they've never been to, but we also have people that just do it because they love the library. We have because they love to dress up. One feature of the event is dressing up like your favorite literary character, and we have prizes for the best costumes, and we have some amazing costumes.
Great. Now, does each of the locations have a theme for that location, or how is this set up?
Right. Each location chooses their theme, and we're actually rolling them out. We've rolled out two so far, which makes me think I should promo our locations, but yeah, they each have an individual theme, and so their drink ties into the theme. A lot of people have their staff dress up towards that, or you know, kind of around that theme. And so, yeah, if I could just give a shout out to our locations this year, we have Dillavidi, Dog-Eared Books, London Underground, Noir, The Angry Irishman, Time Out, and Torrent Brewing this year.
Okay, so pretty much all locations in the central part of downtown.
Right. It has, you know, it's like I said, it's a really fun event, but it really has that added value of getting people downtown on a Thursday night. So, and in fact, the Ames Chamber is one of our sponsors this year. So it really kind of goes, you know, full circle. It really supports the downtown community and gives people a chance to support the library.
Now, we didn't really mention the date and time here. Can you give us that?
Yeah, I'd love to. So it's on a Thursday night, August 11th. Tickets are on sale now. You can buy them at the library welcome desk, or you can buy them online. But so the crawl starts at 6 o'clock. We have people check in right there at the library anytime between 5:30 and 6. And then they start their route 6. We have the last scheduled stop right after 10 o'clock. So we try to get people, you know, we organize you in groups so that not everybody hits the same place all at once.
Sure.
We try to organize people to kind of move through the crawl as groups at different times. But, you know, towards the end, people just figure out what they want to do.
So how many years have you been doing this, or is this the first year?
Oh, sure. So this will be our fifth volume five for us. So, so it's been really fun watching it grow and getting new fans, and you know, watching some of those really just rock star costumes that we have here in Ames. So
now, obviously, these places are going to have other patrons at the time. Have you ever gotten any interesting reactions from folks that aren't partaking, but by the fact that they're there, in some ways have been pulled into the situation? Do you have a favorite memory on that? Or?
Well, we do have some great reactions when people enter, or you know, the greatest thing is to watch Main Street when, you know, people are going to the next location, or, you know, seeing, you know, costumes are optional. You don't have to wear a costume.
Sure.
Most people do put on a costume. And so seeing people walking down the sidewalks and crossing the streets, I mean, you'll see, you know, wizards or Nancy Drew, or, you know, just obscure, you know, literary characters. And it's really great to see everybody mixing. And we've often, you know, had some great conversations strike up about books or about something around a book. But, you know, the other thing is we have a couple people who I've noticed they're in costume, but they're not part of the event. But we see them show up at the bars and join us at the bar. So
well, so the locals are getting into the spirit of the whole activity. That's good.
Exactly. Yeah. And like I said, you know, we have some real rock stars that, you know, some people, you know, you can check in anytime, 5:30 or 6, but, you know, again, if you're not part of the event, you're not buying a ticket, really, if you stop by the library 5:30 to 6, you can just see people come in and out in their costumes. It's pretty fun.
Some of the owners of the establishments, I know there's a few that are maybe newer to the list, but some obviously have done all 5 years, I would think, at this point. What's the reaction from them? How do they, obviously they must get a kick out of this, that they partake.
You bet. Some of them, like you mentioned, we have had some right from the start. Dilavidi, London Underground, Angry Irishman, they've been in Time Out. They've been with us from the start.
Mm-hmm.
And it's really amazing to see some of the locations just really go all out with their themes. London Underground, as a matter of fact, right, our first year, dedicated some of their staff time to help us develop the event.
Okay.
So it's really amazing, when a community comes together. And the great thing too is, we have it on a Thursday night, maybe not, typically not the busiest night for locations, but some of us, or some of the locations that have said, their business triples what a usual Thursday night mm-hmm. looks like, or maybe more, when we have the event. So it's really great. Like I said, just beneficial for so many people in the community.
I would think that, like you say, this is another reason to get downtown or in the main core of the city. And also, I can't help but think that it helps people discover not only these areas, but there's got to be some trickle effect on some of the other establishments that are open during that time in the city of Ames.
Exactly. We've got some sponsors that have donated some prizes, businesses downtown like Chocolatery Stom and Wheatfield. And, it's people walking down the sidewalk on Main Street and just kind of reinvigorating, it's a great community with a really thriving downtown.
Yeah.
So it's been great. Repeat Design is another repeat sponsor of ours who, they're just such a good a good corporate citizen here in town, and again that downtown community feel. So.
Well, I would have to check my calendar to see if is this Halloween. If you were downtown and saw these folks in costume. But Amy, I want to thank you for joining us and describing this. That's Amy Junkie from the Ames Public Library Foundation, and this is the upcoming Pub Fiction Pub Crawl on August 11th. Thanks for joining us.
Thanks for having me, and look forward to seeing everybody there.
Yeah, and if nothing else, folks, this gives you an opportunity to pick up a book, a novel, your e-books or whatever, and become a little more literate, and maybe that'll perk your interest and want to join in the fun.
Thank you.
KHOI provides a platform for citizen and public officials to air opinions and information. The views of our guests do not necessarily reflect those of KHOI, your community nonprofit, nonpartisan media. I want to thank station manager Mike Murphy for engineering this morning's local talk, and a tip of the KHOI toque to producer Lynn Carey for all her assistance. Our guests today that you heard from were Dr. Margaret Musser and Dr. Jennifer Sarchanucci, who are veterinarians with the Iowa State University's College of Vet Medicine, Lars Olson with Story County Housing Trust, Susan Guiazda is the Public Information Officer, along with Housing Coordinator Vanessa Baker Latimer, and you also heard from Amy Junkie from the Ames Foundation, the Public Library. I've been your host, Mike Metz. Remember that you can also hear this online at khoifm.org. You can find links to our guests and information you heard during this program. Please consider becoming a member and making KHOI your community radio station with your financial support. Stay tuned for Democracy Now! Coming up next, and then that's followed by All Things Piano at 9 a.m. If you want to become a member, go to our website at khoifm.org, press the yellow donate button, and begin the process of becoming a member. Thank you for listening. Thank you for supporting KHOI. Our theme song, as always, is Backtracking by Tom Richards and Al Harris of Kate Shelley. Thank you for listening. See you again on the radio. You are listening to KHOI Story City Ames.
From New York,